Good morning, church. I know this is not the typical setup for us, but, you know, the Lord has other plans for us, and so we are doing what we can to still provide the church environment, the church atmosphere, the speaking, the preaching through the medias today. And so we're grateful for our team who is able to come together and to do this. And so thank you for those who are behind the scenes doing this and who make this possible. Before we get into the topic, I just wanted to share this because I know there's a lot of fear with the coronavirus and with everything going on. And I have this taped up in my office. It's on my phone. I have this taped in my office and I want to look at it every day to remind me of some of God's promises. And it says this. It says, "Today I am not discouraged or defeated. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I will give thanks in all circumstances." And that comes from Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which says this. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And so, church, I just want to remind you that even though we're kind of up in the air with what's going on as far as sickness, we know that we serve a mighty God who is going to make all things work together for our good. And so because of that, we need to continue to be faithful in pursuing Him and trust Him throughout these weird times for us. And so if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. And we were sitting in staff a few weeks ago, and we wanted to really focus in on community. And I wanted to start that this week, looking at Matthew chapter 18, looking at verses 15 through 20. And I wanted to talk about reconciliation. And what's the point of reconciliation? Who needs to be reconciled? Well, we all need to be reconciled. But I wanted to look at the scripture. And before we dive into that, I just want to pray for you where you are. I'm on the other side of the screen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you so much for protecting us. I just pray for the world right now as we're all a little worried about the coronavirus and how it's affecting not just us locally. God, I pray that you would deliver us, that you would not give us, that you would remind us that we do not have a spirit of fear. Remind us that we are called to have a sound mind and to trust in you. God, help us to lean to you. Help us to take this very seriously. But God, I pray more importantly for those who have tuned in today to hear this message. I pray that you'd use it to speak to them. I pray that they would not hear my words, but they would hear yours as we talk about reconciliation. Love you. And thank you so much for loving us and reconciling us to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And so it says this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. It says, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to even listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or as a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on heaven shall be bound in heaven." Whatever you bind and on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if you two agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And so the first thing I wanted to talk about as far as reconciliation, like, what's the point? And I put them in order from, they're all important, but from least importance to the greatest importance to me. And so the first thing I want us to look at is that it exercises discipline. It exercises discipline. Going to someone who has wronged you, or who has said something ugly to you, or who has who you are just not in fellowship with because of an issue, going to them to make a wrong thing right takes discipline. And that's a great thing. That is not a bad thing at all. When you go to seek reconciliation, you are exercising biblical discipline. And maybe I've said the word reconciliation and you're not quite familiar with what that word means and what To be reconciled means that you're going to make that relationship right. You're going to restore a righthood with that relationship where it is normal, where there is no hard feelings, where there is no bitterness. And in doing that, you are extending grace and mercy. Grace being something that you receive that you don't deserve, and mercy is when you're not getting something you do deserve. You are also saying that you want to address the issue with that individual. Why? Because you love that person. And that's really hard for us sometimes to get over our pride and to address the hard things out of love. Sometimes we might be afraid of someone's feelings, of hurting them or pushing them away. But when you go to them, you're showing your care for them. Hebrews 12, the first part of 6 says this, "The Lord disciplines those he loves." And then later on in Hebrews 12, 11, it says this, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And so we're told that, hey, look, discipline is going to hurt sometimes. It's going to be hard, but we know that it is for our good. I will never forget in high school, I was good friends with this girl named Samantha. We called her Sammy. And I don't know what happened, but we weren't on good terms for some reason. And I would go at the end of my A days, we had block schedule and we had rotating days. And so on my A days, I would go and I would sit in Dr. Smith's office. He was one of our English teachers and he'd become a principal due to some things happening. And so I was going to his office. He had asked me to come to his office. And I didn't know this, but he had staged an intervention basically between me and this girl, Sammy. And so I walked in, and Sammy is hiding behind the door, and I open the door, and Dr. Smith is like, "Hey, what's up? What are you doing?" And the door shuts, and there's Sammy, and I'm just like, "What's going on?" And we proceeded to talk about the relationship and how it had been ruined by something, and we were trying to restore it. And it was really awkward as an 18-year-old in high school, having that happen, but at the end of that, we ended up reconciling, and it was a good thing. And it was hard for me to receive her words at first, but after I thought about it, I wanted to do anything I could to make it right. And church, don't miss this. You must be willing to receive correction as well as give it with God's love when it comes to exercising discipline. Second thing I want us to look at. Not only what's the point of reconciliation is that it exercises discipline, but it also promotes accountability. It promotes accountability. The greatest blessing that you can get from going to make amends for a brokenness or from something that you've done wrong in a relationship is accountability. You may not want accountability, but I'm here to tell you today, church, that if you love God and you desire to do His will, you need accountability in your life. And I'm not just talking about making sure that they're in church. I'm talking about some harder issues. Some examples I have written down. You can ask them, "Have you been in the Word this week? What has God been teaching you? Have you shared your faith with someone this week? Ooh. What are you struggling with?" And even just through the actions of being a Christian, of praying together and pursuing God together. Men and women need people in their lives to tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." We don't hold each other accountable to try to expose each other for the wrong things. When we hold each other accountable so we can love God more, so we can love each other more. And when we get overwhelmed, we know that we can come to God our Father, and we can cast off our worries on him through prayer. One of my favorite scriptures in James 5:16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and is effective." We all need people who are going to hold us accountable. I meet with several guys a week. I meet with our students. I meet with about 7 to 9 students on a Sunday night, and I'm asking them if they've been in the Word this week. We're talking about what the God is teaching us through the Word. I meet with four grown men on Monday to talk about prayer. We're walking through a book by A.W. Tozer about prayer, and we're holding each other accountable in prayer, and we're still growing in that, but it's been very fruitful for me. On Tuesdays, our staff has staff meeting, and we're going to ask each other questions about the week, and we're going to ask each other, like, you know, hey, are you on track with this? What are you doing to promote, encountering God, connecting people, serving others, and sharing hope? All these different questions. And when you catch someone who's in sin, or in your relationship, if there's something that has been made broken, you should humble yourself to make it right. I think a lot of times we are afraid to go to someone because it scares us. Or we don't feel like we're the person. We need to humble ourselves, church. What if they don't listen, you might be asking. And this is a very harsh statement, but let me completely finish it before you get upset. I question their salvation. If you go to someone and they have no conviction from the Holy Spirit for their sin, then they may not be a believer. It's not our job to make someone repent, church. Our job is to walk in love, to address the hard issues with one another, and for us to allow the Holy Spirit to convict that person of their sin and to draw that person near to Him. So in the right time, they will repent. That is true repentance. I tell the students this story all the time. This guy named Taylor Harris, love him to death. At one point in my life, I hated the guy. He was the worst person. And he's probably listening to this somewhere, and he's like, I can't believe you just said that. But it's okay. But one time, we were just at each other's throats. Like, we just did not like each other. We started off friends, and something happened, and we didn't like each other. And he came to church one Wednesday. I was a junior, he was a sophomore. And I remember the Lord tugging on my heart to go and to talk to Taylor. I even had some friends. I told some of my friends, hey, I think the Lord's calling on me to go and to talk to Taylor. And some of my friends were encouraging me, hey, you should do that. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And I remember, unfortunately, making a wager with God. They had played three songs before the service started, the speaking. And I remember saying, all right, if they play one more song, God, I will go and I will talk with Taylor right now and I will make things right. Lo and behold, the music guy says, we don't normally do this, but we're going to do one more song. I thought, are you kidding me? So I humbled myself and I went and talked to Taylor. We reconciled, we talked. It was really good for me. It was really good for my soul. And it was really good for his soul. Taylor wasn't an unbeliever at the time. He went on to become a Christian. He went later on, even to recently, to be called to ministry, and is now pursuing his undergrad or his master's at Mid-America Seminary. And church, don't miss this. When you go to someone in love for the purposes of accountability or to restore them for reconciliation, it could change their life. It could change their eternity. And so I ask you to be careful to how you show love through accountability. Because you could say the wrong thing and push them away. But you need to make sure that you are following the Holy Spirit and you are following your conviction on something and addressing things in love and allow the Holy Spirit to draw them closer to Him. Last thing. Not only does reconciliation help us to exercise discipline, to promote accountability, but it restores community. And like I said, I saved the best for last. It restores community. When you have a grievance against someone, it is hard to move forward in community. In God's heart, for the church is not to be broken, but to be united. In 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9, it says this, finally, all of you have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. If you love someone, you should desire to restore fellowship with that person. And this is a really hard pill to swallow for me. And if it's a hard pill to swallow for me, it's probably a hard pill to swallow for all of y'all. If you love someone, you should desire to restore that fellowship with that person. And it's not about being right or wrong. It's about loving that person or those people enough to do anything to restore that community, even if it means to admitting that you were wrong. And here's the thing, you may not have been the one that was wrong in that situation, but out of your love for them, you are more concerned with making a wrong thing right than you are about being right ultimately. We got to humble ourselves. It is such a blessing to be in community. That's the one thing I hate about missing out on Sunday morning with you guys, is that we're missing out on community. I thrive on community. It's such a blessing. When the church is united, the fellowship experiences the love and the power of Jesus in their midst. And when someone is remaining in their sin, if they choose to not draw near to God, they miss out on a tremendous blessing of walking in holiness and walking in unity towards our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a restored and a reconciled community. One of my favorite times in my life was my fifth year of union. I had technically graduated. I graduated in December of 2012, but I had stuck around for an extra semester until 2019 at the end of May. And during that 6 months, I was working full-time. I was staying with some roommates who were still in school. I was hanging out with my friends who were underclassmen. One of the people was Hillary Kerr. And that last semester for me was so impactful on my life spiritually, because I was around several different people who not only loved me, but they loved the Lord. Emily Wood, Caleb Creel, Dennis, I forget what Dennis's last name was, but he was from Rwanda, and I loved him. Lucas Pizer, Mark Waite, Hillary Kerr, Kelly Gildernew, so many different people. And what made that fellowship so special was that we had Christ in common, and we were walking in unity, and we had solid relationships with the Lord, and that because of that, we had solid relationships with each other, and we would just have potlucks, and we would go to church together. Some of us went to church together. Some of us went to we just had class together. We'd go to each other's intramural games, and we would just be of one mind in the Lord. And it was such an incredible experience, honestly. I've never felt any sort of love outside like that since that point in my life. And that's not a bad thing. But hear me, church. I want you to understand the power of godly fellowship is life-changing. And if you're not willing to reconcile for the sake of obeying God, you could miss out on a greater blessing of being with a church or with a people who love the Lord, but rather walk in sin. And so I want to ask you, where you are on your computer screen or wherever you are, there's going to be a time for you to pray and to reflect. The band is going to come back on your screen. They're going to play one more song. And I just want to ask you something, church. As we prepare for the week, as we prepare with those that we love, our families, friends, as we prepare for a new pastor, I want you to ask yourself, are you a part of a community, or are you being the community who is known for being reconciled to one another? When it comes to reconciliation, are you a peacemaker or a peace faker? If there's any business you need to take care of this week with a broken relationship, I just want to ask that you trust in the Lord, be bold, and reconcile that person that God is calling you to go and speak to. Let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this time. God, I pray as we walk forward, I pray that we would be about reconciliation. I pray that our church would experience the joy of fellowship in your name through reconciliation and through moving forward hand in hand, loving one another as you have loved us. God, be with those who are sick and who are, maybe they're out of town, maybe there's things going on that people don't know about. God, be their God in that situation. Help them to know that you are in control and help us to trust you and to act and to do and to obey as you've called us to. In Jesus' name.